Let's just pick that apart. If you're listening on the podcast, we just read James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. And look down with me at verse 25 before we start with the beginning of the text, because really the end of the text is why we want this to pierce our hearts, why I want to hear what he said before verse 25. So look at verse 25. A man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, we'll talk about that a little bit later, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. Now look at this. He will be blessed in what he does. He will be blessed in what he does. So James, continuing on with the book of James, he just said something pretty important to me. He said there's a way I can be blessed. And he's talking about being blessed by doing what the Bible says, doing what the Word of God says. Now, I don't want to be a preacher who tells you the same thing you've been hearing for 40 years in churches, which is that as you're supposed to read the Bible. I don't want to do that, really, because I know you've already heard that before, probably 100 times. But what I do want to do is go through the book of James, and whatever he's talking about will mandate what we're talking about today. And what I do want to do is point something very important out, that this world and Christians are trying to be blessed today by the word. By the way, that word blessed means to be fortunate in the Greek, which the New Testament's written in, which I say every week almost. It means to be fortunate or to be well off or to be supremely blessed and happy. That in the Greek, if you were listening to James write or speak this in the Greek, you would have heard something to the effect that if you want to be fortunate or well off or supremely happy, do this. And I would say that today the world and Christians are trying to be fortunate, well off, supremely happy by 100 different ways other than, I'm lifting up my Bible podcasters. We're trying to do self-help programs. Maybe I'll go for a jog, be healthy. Maybe we will try this or that to heal our marriage or try some program to help us raise our kids, when all the answers to being well off and blessed are right here in Scripture. So I do want to take it from that vantage point that, yes, I'm going to tell you again, probably for the 100th time in your life, that we need to be studying Scripture as Christians. But I want you to understand that what James is saying in verse 25 is, this is the way to a blessed life, to a happy, successful, fortunate life. It's found here. Now, if you're not a Christian, and maybe you're not, I don't know everyone here yet, I probably have to try to convince you that all the answers are here. But for the majority of us that are Christians, this is for sure what you believe. I hope that all the answers to life are found here. That the way that I'm supposed to treat my wife and love her, and the way we're supposed to run our marriage is found here. And then if I want a fortunate marriage, a happy, well-off marriage, a blessed marriage, I have to look here. The same thing with my money, same thing with how to run a church, same thing with everything else in life, how to run a business, how to be a good employee, etc. Everything. So, how can I experience a blessed life, a fortunate, well-off, supremely blessed, happy life? James has told us, look back at verse 21, he said, therefore, now, we skipped verse 19 and 20 because later on in chapter 3, James is going to discuss how we speak to one another and how we talk. And so I'm going to bring back chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 when we do that text later. So I didn't skip it on accident. We'll come back to it. Verse 21, therefore, he says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Do you see that evil is prevalent in this world today? Yeah. I can't even turn on the news without getting depressed. It's very prevalent. And humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The word, he's speaking of the word of God, which we have written in the form of Scripture. So this is what I would say. How can I have a blessed life, a fortunate life, a happy life? James, okay, not Eric, James. Eric's just a little man up here saying what we just read and talking about it for a few minutes. What does James say? He says, I want you to make a decision. I want you to make a decision to try your best to do what the Bible says. Okay, because look, he says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept. That word, humbly accept, means, in the Greek, to make a conscious decision. It's not, it's a verb, it's not a noun, or it's not to receive it, it's really to do it. It's that you have to do something as a Christian, and we have to be proactive and decide, as a Christian, I'm going to, as opposed to moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, the way the world is doing things, I want to make a decision, though I know I'm going to fail every day, I'm going to make a decision to humbly do as best I can what Scripture tells me to do. A conscious decision, really, to follow God and to follow Christ. You see, because I'll tell you something right now. It's kind of a radical statement. Maybe you can argue with me afterward if you want. We can go downstairs and argue. But most Christians in the United States of America who are sincerely interested in following God and Christ, they unconsciously have skipped the I'm going to make a decision to run my life according to what Scripture says. I'm just telling you that's a fact. Okay? It's obvious that the reason there are so many Christians, but yet so few of them are godly, that's another radical statement. Because 85% of Americans say they're Christians, but 85% of America is not godly. And if you're somebody in here that says, yeah, that's why I don't go to church, first of all, I would say to you that we are really faulted people, most of us. I can see by a few of your facial expressions that maybe you're not as much as me, but we are a faulted people, first of all. I'm talking to a non-believer in here, somebody who's maybe just come to church again for, you know, hasn't been here in a while. I don't know if there's any here. Secondly, I would say that you're right. Here's another radical statement. It's only my third week. That yes, many of us Christians are hypocrites. Doesn't mean we're not God followers, but you're right. And we're not making a conscious decision to do what this says. That's no excuse not to follow God, to follow Christ. So, anyways, that was a rabbit trail. Hopefully there won't be too many of those today. Therefore, James says, I want you to decide to, don't let this skip your mind, purpose in your life to learn Scripture and do it, okay? And I want you to accept it, he says, do it. And notice what he says, the word planted in you, he starts going farmer on me, okay? He planted in you, and if you remember, our soul, like Jesus was referred to our soul, like metaphorically, as like as soil. And remember, in one of the Gospels, in Mark, for instance, he says, "I want to tell you a story. A farmer went out and he sowed seed, and the seed was the word of God in the parable, and it fell on different soil, and the soil was different men and women's lives, their souls, and when the word was sowed in different souls, it had a different response, really." Some soil it fell on, it responded one way. Some people accepted God's word, but then when trials come or troubles come or something, they walk away from it. Do you remember? And there's different responses. Some soil was good soil, Jesus said, where the word of God fell on it, pierced that soul, that ground, and it grew, and it bore fruit in the person's life. It changed their life. But remember, he says, though, this is the thing, is that there were four different kinds of soil that the seed fell on, and only one of those responded rightly. So in other words, what kind of, are you a soft, you know, lush, is your soul just ready for God's word to come in and change you? And if you made the decision that, yes, you know what, I'm going to humbly accept it, that means that whatever it says, that's what I do. And whatever it says, now, I fail this every day, but this is what I'm purposing to do. And when I mess up every day, I say, Lord, forgive me, and I keep going. But this is going to be very important to me, that I want to have a blessed life, and I'm going to stop trying to have a blessed life some other way. Please, there's no other way than God's way. He designed and made us, and he left us with that silly expression, the instruction book, to tell us, look, I designed you, I made you, I made marriage, I made sex, I made money, really, I made everything. I've allowed everything, and this is the way you handle it all. And the reason you're so not happy, not fortunate, not well-off world, is because you left my word. What happened to the United States of America? Oh, no, this is on podcast. You shouldn't let this stuff be on podcast. What happened to the United States of America, though, when they turn away from God and his word and his ways? Are they well off? What happened to the school system when they left God's word and his ways and stopped reading the Bible in schools? How's the school system doing? What happened to the United States of America as a culture when in after World War II, really, I mean, it's been happening all through time, but after World War II particularly, when the families split off in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, and you had each generation following God less and following God less and following God less. Is our culture well off and blessed? Does it look like a happy culture? James says you're trying to do it the wrong way, Christian. Now, we all know this, but remember to say, you know what? I'm going to decide to humbly do this. Now, this will take active obedience. In other words, this will take me actively while studying it. Okay, look what he says in verse 22. He says, don't merely listen to the word, though, and so deceive yourselves. Do it, you see. And this is what I would say. How many of us are just sermon sippers? How many of us, we get our weekly Bible teaching when we come to church? It's that guy's job up there. That's not really enough. And really, how many of us, including myself, I don't even remember what I preached last week. I do, it was temptation. But oftentimes, I don't even remember. You see, he's saying, be careful, because it's human nature. You can purpose that, yeah, I'm going to accept God's teachings. I want to be blessed. But we can hear it and not do it. And so he says, don't deceive yourselves. Don't merely be conscious about this. Don't merely hear it through the sermon or when you read it home, or wherever. Don't be careful not to read it and then not do it, but practice it actively, obeying it. How many times, when's the last time God's Word told you to do something and it was hard? And that's probably about how much you read the Bible, because about every time I read it, it tells me to do something that I'm like, oh man, that's going to be tough. You know, loving that person that insults me every time, Lord. You know what I mean? She always says that one thing, Lord. That's a tough one to overlook. Ooh, she said it again, Lord. I want you to be a giver. That's a tough one, Lord. And so on. I want you to love your wife. That's not a tough one for me. She's pretty easy to love most of the time. Yeah. Don't merely listen to it, but decide that, you know what? I'm starting to get this. Especially some of us that have been around church for some time now, I'm starting to get this. We, humans, we hear the word, but we forget it. We I don't know if it's a conscious thing, unconscious, I don't know, but my natural inclination is, oops, I forgot that you said to do that, Lord. Okay? And so we have to watch that and be careful. And I just would ask any Christians in here who don't read, who don't study Scripture, who don't read the Bible, which may be many of us. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Because the Lord is a strong word, which makes you a slave or a servant, subject. And if Jesus Christ is our Lord, what that means for the Christian is I will do absolutely everything to my best ability, which is totally a failure every day. I will do everything I can, though, to obey him, no matter what he says. If I know he's saying it, as long as too much time doesn't pass by, like a few minutes where I'll forget it, because that's what I do, Lord, have mercy on me. But if I hear you say something, I will do it, because you're my Lord. It's not like, if you have a Lord, it's not like he commands you and you say, let me chew on that. Right? If a king commands his servants, they do it. And yet we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're the United States of America. I'm my own man. Nobody tells me what to do. I'll read the Bible and I'll decide whether that still counts for today, or I'll decide whether that's what God's telling me or not. That is not humbly accepting the word planted in you. That is not good soil. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, then it's a strong commitment. And then what I would say is doing what he said, if he's your Lord, and that means then, wow, it's very important I know what the commands of my Lord are. The only way for you to know what the commands of your Lord are is to go to this. That's it. No, Jesus just talks to me in my heart. I don't need to read the Bible. Oh, really? That's like those guys that go blow up the abortion clinics. God told me to do it. Did he? If he's your Lord, then it would become super important to you that, you know what, I want to know what my God says. I want to know what he likes and what he doesn't like. Jesus said, don't, Luke chapter 6, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? This is not a condemnation, I would say, just so you can just kind of see what kind of a person I am, and if the Lord wills, if I don't drop dead or the world doesn't end or something, or whatever, you'll hear this a lot. But I sincerely believe, and you can ask my wife if it's true, as God is my witness, let me fall down dead right now if I'm not telling you the truth. I believe I am the most wicked person in this room. I do not believe that I am more righteous than you. In fact, I believe that if I know Scripture as much as some of you or more than a lot of you, I'm more at fault than you because I don't do what it says. I'm confessing to you as much as I ought. So there you go. That's what kind of pastor you have. But I want to. I don't want to say, Lord, Lord, and not do what he says. That breaks my heart. And what breaks my heart about it is that he says, I still love you. I forgive you. That makes me want to please him. So I have to decide as a Christian, I'm going to commit myself to begin studying God's word because he's my Lord. I want to actively obey him, and the only way I can get his commands is right here. That's it. There's no other way. So I need to start. This is super important to me. It's the most important thing in my life that I do what my God says because I love him and he loves me. And then, verse 23 and 24, anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says, he's like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. In other words, this is kind of God's word is making me more and more like God, more and more like Jesus, and it's most important for the Christian to be like Jesus, okay? More and more and more and more. Okay, that's the process. That's what we want. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my life. And I want to be like him. And the only way to be like him is to study Scripture. And the idea here is, as we read God's word and as he changes us to be more like Jesus, 2 Corinthians puts it this way in chapter 3. It says that we're being transformed, remember this verse, into the likeness of God, into the likeness of Christ, with ever-increasing glory. So in other words, I should begin to talk more like Jesus and have his facial expressions more and have the same motives he has and do the same things he did more and more and more and more. And if I look at God's word or listen to a sermon and then walk away and forget, it's like I'm forgetting who I am in Christ. It's like when I look at this, it's like a mirror reflecting back Jesus to me. Okay? I know, that's the metaphor he's using. And if I walk away from it and I don't do what it says, it's like I'm forgetting who I really am. Because the Bible tells me who I really am and who Christ really is and who you really are. So that's kind of the idea there. God's word is really like a mirror reflecting what I should look like in Christ, what my marriage should look like in Christ, what our church should look like in Christ, what our government should look like in Christ, and so on. So I have to make a decision. I have to say, you're my Lord, and I'm going to try to obey you. I'm going to be careful because I know us humans, we tend to walk away today from church. That little guy up there, I don't know what he's just saying, the same thing again and again and again, blah, 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 the word of God, the word of God, the word. I've heard it before. And you walk away and you don't do what it says. What good was that? You should have stayed home and watched the game. Is there a game today? I don't know. The whole church really revolves around Jesus and his word. We can't do anything right without it. And then this is my last point, and then we'll quit. That this is going to take an intensity in your life. And I'm going to, after Sunday school this morning, we're going to go down and talk a little bit more about this intensity that many people have had over the last, well, throughout history. All these godly people in Scripture, and then people outside of Scripture that are the heroes that we read their books and we look to them for godly direction, they all had this intensity about them to follow God, to follow Christ, an intensity about his word, the Bible. There were, in every generation, there's just a few of them, really. You remember Jesus said that the way is wide and the gate's broad that leads to destruction. Most people are on that road. But there's this narrow gate and this narrow path that leads to life, and there's just a few who find it. And really, that is absolutely true. So James says in verse 25, but the man who looks intently, you see, intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, speaking there the perfect law of the Word of God. The Bible uses the word law for different things, the Old Testament and so on, but here he's speaking of God's commandments as a whole found in Scripture. And whoever looks intently into it, not haphazardly, not casually, not, oh yeah, I listen to the sermon every week. I even read a little devotional every day, which is good. But I'm talking about, no, I'm going to become a Christian that I am going to become committed to. You see, I was a Christian. I was a Christian as a kid. I was a Christian as a teenager. I went to youth group and church camp and all this stuff, but I wasn't really changed by God. I just believed in him. But I didn't do anything he said. I still had a filthy mouth and looked like just a regular kid out in the world. And it was when he pierced my heart with his word, starting with the book of James, that I began to have this well fortunate, blessed life. And he did something in me, and he has to do it in you. It's because it's by his grace that you're saved, and it's by his grace that you can become a God seeker, a desperate person, a Bible studier. He has to actually help you to do it. That's my testimony anyways. And when that happened, I became intent and intense about studying the Bible, and my life began to change radically. I'm just telling you, that's my witness. You have your witness, I guess. If you can find somebody else that's well off and fortunate and blessed, and you don't like the way I'm telling you and the way James is telling you to get well off and fortunate and blessed, if you have somebody else out there, go follow them. I don't know. Find someone, though, in your life that you're like, you know what? I want to be like that person a little bit. I want to, something that's making them tick, I want to make me tick. Find somebody in your life and listen to what they're telling you. But don't just sit around and try to figure it out on your own. But this is what the Bible tells you, God's word, is to be blessed. You have to get to this and you have to look at it intently. The man who looks intently, verse 25, into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this. That's super important. Not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it as best you can, I put in parentheses, because of what the rest of Scripture says. He will be blessed in what he does. He will be well off, fortunate, and happy. Notice something, and then I'll quit. First of all, let me tell you this. This is what the Bible says, like Psalm 111, verse 2. Greater the works of the Lord, they are studied by all who delight in him. I delight in the Lord, so I study his word and his works. So it's going to take an intentional, sustained, I'm going to become as a Christian, not just a sermon sipper, not just a casual, I'm gonna be a Bible studier. And because I just want to be like God. I want to have a blessed life. I'm just dogmatic. I'm telling you, this is the only way as a Christian to a blessed life. Notice something really quick and then we'll quit. It says that if we look at God's perfect law with intensity, that law that brings freedom. The perfect law that brings freedom. You see, we think that God's word or doing something that God says restricts us. And really, actually, when we practice doing what it says, it blesses us and it gives us freedom. Let me just use a common Example. God's word tells us that he wants us young people to, he wants us to wait till we get married to do married people things. If you don't know what married people things are, don't ask me, okay? And he's not saying that to restrict you. He's saying that because he wants you to be free. And he wants you to have a free, well-off, fortunate marriage one day. And you can go, young person, to any older person in this room who tried to do it another way when they were younger, and most of the time they will tell you, no, I would definitely agree. It's not restricting to wait for that one person till you get married. But it actually is a blessing. It'll make your marriage successful and free. So God's word isn't restricting me. God's word is trying to make me free. And so we think sometimes he's just putting rules upon my life. And in actuality, what it's doing is if I'd let it, it's going to make me more happy in the end and more free. Does that make sense? God's word tells me not to get drunk. He's not trying to be a drag. He's not trying to be a taskmaster. He loves you, and he knows when you get drunk, it's like, no, you end up naked with your kids making fun of you. You got to read the Noah. In other words, I'm not trying to restrict you. I'm trying to make you free. And all the rest. And I can tell you that many times in my life I've tried to do things the world's way or my way. The world says, you know, no, you'll be happy and fortunate and blessed, young people, if you should have sex with a bunch of different people before you get married. That's what the world says. I'm telling you, that is not the way for happiness and freedom. Some of us older people who have made mistakes when we were younger, we would tell you, no, listen to God's word. Listen to his word. It's going to bless you. It's going to bless your future partners and bless your future marriage. God's word makes me free. Well, I make a commitment today. I'm just going to ask you. A commitment. You know what? I'm a Christian. God loves me, but maybe he's encouraging me today, you know, to begin every day reading his word, like many of us do. I'm going to start off my day. I'm going to read the Bible. I haven't done this, and I'm a Christian for 20 years. And maybe you'll make a commitment to read for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 chapters or. This is what I would say if you haven't read the Bible a lot. Read, choose something, the book of James, read until God speaks something into your heart, and then stop. Don't keep going because you'll just heard that and you'll forget what it said and you'll forget to do it. Read until God says something to you and then stop. And put your Bible down and pray and take the rest of that day to meditate upon what he said to you and get it in you. That's a start. That could take a minute. That could take 5 minutes. But get alone with God. Can you believe that a pastor is telling you to get alone with God and do your devotions every day? Get alone with God and seek him and study his word and practice doing what he says, because, as we're going to talk about downstairs, you're desperate for him. It's not for any other reason. I'm just desperate to do what my Lord says and to be like him. And remember his promise, God's promise in God's word through the book of James. This is the way to a blessed life. This is why I'm telling you this over and over and over again in Scripture. I want you to be blessed people. It's not to make life a hassle. It's to make you blessed and free. And if you haven't, if you're not a Christian yet and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to be free and you want to have a blessed life, I encourage you right now to put your trust in Him. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm just saying between you and Him right now, tell Him, you know what, I've missed this and I've always believed in you, but no, I want you to be my, I want you to be my Lord, my Savior. And you tell Him that, you know what, I'm sorry for doing things the way I've been doing them. That's just called repentance from our sins. And I want to do it your way now. And trust Him for your salvation. For us Christians, don't spend a life not really taking your Christianity seriously. That's for the pastors and the heroes of the faith. No, can you imagine what will happen at Grace Community Chapel in 10 years if all this congregation and everybody else that might be missing today began to study God's Word and practice doing it? Can you imagine what might happen? Do you think anything is going to happen if it's just like three of us that do it every week? Do you think anything is going to happen? Nothing will happen that's blessed. So I would say I would love to have a church that we all are on fire for God, as they say, and on fire and passionate, and we have an intensity for His ways and His Word. That would be my prayer. Father, we thank You for this time, and I do pray that You would make us a congregation hungry for You, hungry for Your Word and Your ways. I know that many of us are. I know maybe most of us are. I don't know yet, but I pray that You would give us Your grace to individually seek You daily and get alone with You and pray and read Your Word and practice doing it so that corporately, as a church, when we come together, You will give us blessings beyond our imagination, and individually we'll receive blessings and well-off lives and marriages and households and children. And oh Lord, help us to be hungry for You, for Your Word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.